And now, from high atop the Camelback Towers in Scottsdale, from the Star Worldwide Network Studios, a man whose life revolves around his family, sports, grilling, and bad jokes, your host of the Dad Podcast, talking all things dad, here's Chris Brewer.
All right, another Thursday, another Dad Podcast. Yes, yes, sir. Sean, good of you to be here.
And I'm here.
Robin, of course, on the ones and twos.
Where else would I be?
Where else? I don't know.
You'd have to run the board. That's a scary thought.
I've done that before.
You have?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, so I can go out to lunch while you do this?
No, I was, remember, I was a broadcasting major. I had a radio show.
Then you got out and got a real job?
In college. And for a short period of time, I was a DJ for a, whatchamacallit, a jazz station.
Give me your best cool jazz smooth thing, you know, like your call letters. Give me a cool...
Robin, I do it every Thursday.
Is that how you sounded?
Oh my gosh, the voice is basically straight sex.
Okay.
No.
Sean's got a better voice when he does that.
Sean has a great voice.
Yes, he does.
No, what I was going to say real quick was, for a short period of time, I was a DJ at a jazz station, knew absolutely nothing about jazz, and this is still when there were compact discs, so I was allowed to play whatever I wanted.
Ooh.
They would just... There was like a library of music, and you were given like, you know, what has been played recently, so you had to avoid that stuff, but then everything else you could just play. And so in between songs, I would read the whatchamacallit, in the
station.
CDs.
Oh, the liner notes?
The liners. I would read all the liner notes so that I knew what I was talking about for the next song. And I remember one guy called into the studio and was like, man, I got to find out what band you're in, man, because your ear for percussion is just, I always look forward to your show. And Mike, I'm sorry. You could feel the balloon just deflating when I was like, I've never even played an instrument before. I just have a passion for jazz.
I think jazz.
I said that. Really, man?
Aw.
Broke his heart.
Well, you know, as a good DJ, you learn things about whatever particular station, because even though we have a particular style of music, like I grew up with classic rock and roll, heavy metal, but I had to work at four different country stations. I didn't know a lot.
Oh, yeah.
So here's how I learned about country music and what was going on. I just went and bought the gossip rags, because each style of music had their own gossip rag.
That makes sense.
Like the Enquirer, except it was like country music something or other. And I'd go through that and I'd find little tidbits about the artists. And as I'm, you know, getting their song up and talking about them, you know, you do the ramp, which is the beginning with no vocals. And I'm sitting here and I'm learning about all these country artists. I mean, it's wasteless, useless information, but as a DJ...
You must have made a lot of enemies.
No, I didn't, because I always found positive stuff. You know, like I would talk about when Shania Twain got married to Mutt Lange, who was very well known for producing rock and roll records, and then he took her to a whole different level. I had no idea that he was even interested in her, and here's the thing. Nobody even knew this at the time, but when they were married, they had this big house that was like a dual living family home. He slept on one side of the house, she slept on the other side. So they had separate living quarters as a couple, which a lot of people didn't know, but it was in this country music gossip rag. So you become somewhat of an intelligent person because you know all this stupid, useless information.
Wow.
And you just say it. So, you know,
I think my sister has been pushing for the exact same scenario across the street with Chris. Like, you have your half, I will take this half, and I'll see you at dinner time. No. Well, they have a lovely marriage. I'm joking.
There's a new thing. I don't know if you guys even know this. Sean may be aware of this, but a lot of married couples are living in separate residences, and they say that it helps their marriage.
That is the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
But it's something going on. I mean, have you heard
of
that, Sean?
That's not a marriage.
Some people think
Lord.
It is.
Okay.
I don't know. That's what's going on today.
No, thanks. How did we get on this? All I was talking about was that I could press the buttons.
That you were a radio DJ.
It's a fascinating story. We've got to recap something real quick. March Madness is over. We had the Dad Bodcast Bracket Challenge, and need to give a shout out to our winner, or I guess you could say not loser. Oh, Chris is here.
Hey guys.
He is representing Holy Week. That is That's a wonderful, awesome. Wonderful. Did you paint that of Jesus yourself, listener? Chris is here, and he has a mural of our Lord Jesus holding a bowl of popcorn.
There you go.
Okay.
Yes, that's why I'm late. I had to finish the last bit of tinting. So, thanks. I'm sorry, guys.
That's your medium oil. That, wonderful. Chris, we were just congratulating our listener, Brian Dixon, on his championship. We have to give Brian credit. I believe he was the only person who still had their champion alive after the Sweet 16. Like, there were some who had Final Four people in there, but you could see where they, like, blackout on the app, like your champion is out, and then there was just this one row of light, and that was Brian Dixon, who picked UConn. I did reach out to Brian, and he did apologize. He actually filled that out for the women's bracket. He actually filled out for the wrong tournament. No, I did reach out to Brian. I've got his address, and this weekend he will be getting mailed a chuck roast and a case of beer. So,
phenomenal.
Brian, congratulations.
Why don't you just show on his doorstep and have a party?
He lives out of state.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a bummer.
He's a real
This isn't a local guy.
No, this is a real listener out in California.
Fantastic.
I don't know if you're aware, we're on a podcast that actually has real listeners. No, it's not seven guys in Glendale and my mom.
I was going to say, maybe your mom's tennis club?
We actually have numbers.
I thought it was your tennis club members that listen.
A lot of them do. I don't know if we needed the laughter after that, Robin. That seemed mean, spirited.
No, not at all.
It's Holy Week, Robin.
Bless you.
Okay. It's also Masters Week, and this is about this truly. I'm not a golfer. I do golf. I love golf. I never have time to golf. But outside of NFL football and Kansas Jayhawks, the Masters is actually my favorite sporting event to watch all year. Sean, will you be watching the Masters?
If I'm available, yes. Not as intently as I was watching the bracket, but
if you're available, hopefully. What does that mean? So this is not a priority at all for you.
I wouldn't call it a priority. Well,
wow.
You know,
Chris, will you be watching?
It's going to be background fodder for me. I'll watch it when I can. But to give you an example of the difference. When I got up today, I put on the Masters, and Betsy got up later than all of us as usual.
No kidding.
And sat down to start working, and she just left it on. I said, Masters, you going to leave it? She says, yeah, it's peaceful.
Yeah, there we go.
When I left, it was still on, and it had been on for, I don't know, hour and a half, 2 hours. Tiger was on hole four.
Okay.
To give you an idea of the last I saw, maybe going into five. But that's all they were talking about still, unfortunately. But still, it was nice to see because the course is beautiful.
The course is taken right out of heaven. Truly is. It was actually, originally it was a nursery, and then they turned it into a golf course. But the Masters truly is my favorite sporting event to watch. Like I said, outside of football, I grew up watching it with my dad, and I introduced Alex to it. It was 10 years ago. She had never watched the Masters before, and we were dating, and I was just like, this is what I do on this weekend. It's that important to me. And she watched the whole thing with me. And
wow.
I remember she watched Adam Scott, who she developed a nice little crush on over that weekend, win the green jacket. And she was like, you know, this is actually pretty cool. It was exciting. And I even remember in college, we were visiting a friend of ours. We were going back home to where he lived in Pueblo, Colorado, and there was a few guys with us, and I was like, the Masters is on, and none of them had watched golf. I'm like, trust me, guys, I think you're gonna actually be surprised. And they were glued to it, and that was the year that Greg Norman fell apart the last day with Nick Faldo. But these guys had never watched golf before, and they were glued to the whole Sunday at the Masters.
Well, I would absolutely be glued to it if I had the opportunity. I do enjoy, maybe not as much as you, to where it's needs to be or has to be my priority, but if it's on, I do enjoy watching it.
There is an understanding in the home. The kids know when it's the Masters, and the U.S. Open's always played on Father's Day. There's just an understanding. Golf will be on, and that is what Chris Brewer is doing for the day.
Does your wife still have a thing for Koepka?
Not as much, because he's one of those live golfers, so we don't see him as much. And her crush on Brooks Koepka is based on what he has to be wearing a hat. She doesn't think he's that cute if he doesn't have a hat on.
I remember that name from Tahoe.
Yeah, she's got a thing for Brooks. So I know
will watching the Masters take priority over, say, going to a kid's game or a fatherly responsibility?
Kid's game, I would attend. Fatherly responsibilities are put on hiatus.
Well, that kind of is a fatherly responsibility.
No, I mean, like, he's doing something at home.
Oh, he's a DVR king, though. I mean,
I have mastered that.
Right?
He watches everything late, because of how much he's doing all the time.
Yes, thank you.
Well, I do want to bring two of those things. That number one, in the tournament last weekend, after the San Diego game, which was a very fun game to watch.
That was a fun game,
especially the last second.
That was awesome.
You know, Chris immediately texted to us, "Onions," and I was just like, "All right." I absolutely know that Chris and Chris are talking a language that I don't get, so I just need to play cool and not ask what it is. And I quickly Googled it, and I got it. I'm like, all right, that's what onions means. Makes total sense.
It became popular from a specific announcer
and when I Googled it, I watched that announcer.
Oh, okay, yeah,
I watched that.
Onions.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. But anyway, going on to like the dad part of this, unfortunately, my son experienced onions on the wrong side of onions the following morning.
Oh.
And I immediately thought again of Chris. he was in this big, big race, and they lost by 0.7 seconds. And it was such a heartbreaker. And I was just, like, onions, damn it.
One, that stinks. Two, it's actually funny. I wasn't supposed to be able to watch the championship game on Monday because my son Sam was supposed to have basketball practice that night from 6:30 to 8:30, and there's no getting out of that. He needs to go to practice, and it's a half hour away. I'm like, I guess I'm just going to miss the game, or I'm going to be watching it really late. And then, as it turned out, and practice again 6:30 to 8:30, so we've got to leave the house by 6. I believe it was around 4 o'clock Monday, late afternoon, get a text from the coach. Sorry for the late notice, guys, but practice is canceled.
Because of the game?
Yeah, no, it turned out it was the assistant coach, two assistant coaches, their twin brothers. It was their birthday, and they decided last minute to not hold practice. So it was like, all right.
I did actually miss the final game, and I was so selfishly, I was somewhat happy that it wasn't as great of a game as the San Diego game.
Yeah, well, it wasn't that great of a game, actually.
I did not watch it. I didn't watch it at all.
The championship, really?
I thought UConn was going to pace them, and they did. Their win margin for the entire tournament was...
Oh, yeah.
It was huge.
Right.
And I kept looking, don't get me wrong, because I was working later right. that day, and I kept looking. By the time... You know, I was heading back. It was after the half, and they were up 13. And I'm going, well, that's about par. You know,
they did. San Diego State did make it a game. They did not give up. They got within 5 late, and that was fun. I thought you were going to say you're working on that painting.
No, that was this morning.
Gotcha. Very impressive. Speaking of things that got canceled, I wanted to wait for you, Chris, to pop on. Before I told this story that happened this week, and help me out here if I get some of the details wrong, but I was like, I've got to bring that up on the show. It is too funny. It's funny, but it's not funny. So my sister, who at some point will be on the show, my sister will always be one of the hugest fans of the movie Titanic, and probably saw it 50 times in the theater. I was a huge fan, a major crush on Kate Winslet, not an ugly person. And we even went to a Blockbuster together, like at midnight when they were selling the DVD and at that time even the VHS. We went and bought it at midnight. So it's my sister and her best friend Cindy, and they've learned of this Titanic exhibit in California, and so they've arranged for this girls' weekend with just the two of them, and going to do some other stuff. But this is all centered around going to the Titanic exhibit together. And they're super pumped. And I want to say 3 weeks ago, they were supposed to go. And then they get an email, I believe, that the exhibit is canceled or postponed until the next week. So then they're going to go the next week to the Titanic exhibit. It is postponed again. So now this past weekend, they're all set for the girls' weekend that we are now on week 3 of. And as I know Sean knows, and then the storms come here, there have been these huge storms in California. The Titanic exhibit has been closed because of water damage to the Titanic exhibit. You can't make that up.
Wow.
It's the most pathetic thing I've ever heard.
Ay. Well, it sunk after it hit the iceberg. A little water's not going to hurt it.
So Saturday, I actually texted Betsy thinking they're going to the exhibit. And I'm texting her these stupid Titanic things like, hey, if you meet somebody new at the exhibit, you should say, hey, it's so great to meet you. I'm glad we were able to break the ice.
Ugh.
Just stupid, stupid stuff.
This story is really sinking.
I think I another one. I said, hey, if you hold a door open for someone at the exhibit and a second person tries to get through, say, no, excuse me, there's only room for one. Anyway, you cannot make up. A Titanic exhibit is shut down because of water damage.
Now, have you ever seen anything on this particular exhibit?
No.
My son was a huge fan of Titanic when he was younger. So we went to the Titanic exhibit here in Phoenix because he wanted to when he was a kid. And they actually have an entire piece of the ship that's roped off, a side piece of the ship. And there's actually water trickling down on it.
Really?
So it doesn't make sense to me why they would close the exhibit because there's water on the objects. I mean, didn't they rescue these things out of water to begin with? And most of them are under kind of like these covers and stuff.
I don't have the answers, Robin. I just know there were not enough life jackets for everybody on the on the boat.
Well, maybe that's the case. The room was flooded.
Chris, did I miss any details there on that story?
No.
Okay.
No, this was the last weekend that they were going to try because of Ben's baseball game starting. She didn't want to miss. So they had hotel reservation, dinner reservations that they kept canceling and then rebooking all for this exhibit that never happened. So they just went and made the most of it. But it did make national news because there was there's an HGTV couple. I don't know their names. They're the huge guy with the beard and the little blonde gal from Mississippi. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. I can't remember the name of the show, but yeah.
They flew out there for the day that Betsy and Cindy were supposed to be there and found out it was canceled, and they were just there in California without the purpose of going. So they made a point to stress how unhappy they were about that, which I thought was funny, because I couldn't imagine being a company responsible for something that big and then canceling it 3 weeks straight,
right?
And then not having like a sound PR or recovery setup for handling people that are pissed off out of their minds.
Well,
because I don't know. I thought there would have been a better alternative to that.
I did appreciate that they emailed the women and children first. So that was a nice move. I have a child. I have a child here. Anyway. Sean, anything you want to add to that story?
No, I was trying to think of a good ringer, and
you nailed
it. So I'm not going to be able to beat that one. The women and children first. I'm not going to compete.
I got a lot of stuff that went on this week. I have stumbled on a show that has taken up my entire week. Like even last night, I thought, okay, I'll watch one episode after everybody goes to bed, and then I'll call it a night. And I ended up falling asleep like right before the episode ended, and then I got back up, woke up, and then I'm glued again, and I'm like, how long is this episode? Well, a new episode had started, and now I'm forced to watch another one. Have you guys seen the show called Alone?
Oh yeah. Love it. Absolutely love it.
I realize I'm coming in, you know, 8 episodes late here, like I usually do on this stuff.
No, you're coming in like
8
seasons.
Eight seasons.
9 seasons.
Yes.
Yeah.
But yes, good show.
Holy smokes. So listener, if you don't know this show, the premise, there's no hokiness, there's no games or anything like this. It's not like Survivor or what is it, Naked and Afraid or Naked and Alone? No, it's a show.
Yep.
Naked and Afraid.
Naked and Afraid. Okay.
Yes.
Not Sean's wife. an actual show.
He's knitting, don't bother him.
He is knitting. I liked how I started telling the story. Robin started playing with her hair, with her head down, and Sean started knitting, and I'm like...
Nap time, Chris is talking.
We don't even know yet if the story's boring.
Oh, yes, we do.
Just starting it.
I just don't get that whole idea about the Naked and Afraid show.
I've never even seen it.
I saw like a half an episode. I'm like, dude, are you seriously? You're going to throw two adults that are completely naked out here together?
Yeah, no.
Well, you got to be brave to do that crap. No way. No thanks.
No, thank you.
No, thank you.
I saw this real quick, and then I'll get back to my story. How can you feel even more naked than naked? Put shoes on. Then you really feel naked.
Interesting.
I saw that this week. Anyway, it's Holy Week.
Is that that whole new saying? And you know how they tell you, look up here, my eyes, look at my eyes?
I don't know.
So you tell them, look down at my shoes.
I thought it actually made sense.
Look down at the shoes.
I like it.
Anyway, this show's called Alone, and they take 10 people. Chris is insisting that I watch him eat the fake popcorn out of Jesus' hand. We need to get cameras in here. I promise you this is a great story about Alone. So they take 10 people. They drop them off in a remote place. They never see each other. There's no camera people because they supply the contestants with their own cameras. So they're videotaping themselves. And it's who can survive the longest. And it is fascinating to see what they have to go through. The particular season I'm on, which is called Grizzly Mountain, I believe, and they're up in British Columbia, and it's known for having grizzly bears. So they have to be on the watch of grizzly bears with every single thing that they do. They've got no food. They've got to be able to fish. And these
How about
are
the checklist. How about the stuff they get? Items of choice.
Yeah, go
to
over,
start off.
Go over that real quick.
Yeah, they get to choose a certain amount of items off of the list of a few categories, and that's it. That's what they can take. And the ones I've seen struggle the most are the ones that did not take the fire starters, like the bushmen, the bushcraft people who take a lot of pride in doing everything, you know, without man-made tools or tech to it. They've struggled pretty hard over the seasons that I've seen. And that's one I would take. The fire starter was something I'd take. But some of them take it, and then they lose it, and then they're eliminated within a couple days. I mean, that's how big of a difference it is. But you do get to choose.
Yeah.
And some people find things. They create fishing nets out of things they find on the island or wherever they're at. And it's really one of my favorite shows of all time, Brewer.
Two,
I love it, man.
Two things that strike me watching this show is, one, how organized they have to be with their time in that they can't waste calories.
Physical exertion.
Yeah, because they know I'm only getting a certain amount of calories in me. I've put on weight purposely before the show, so I have some extra to fall back on, but I can't overexert myself doing things on a particular day because I don't have enough calories going in, and that's the consistent talk. So that is mind-blowing. I know I said two things, but actually a few things. So there's that. There's... like this, I don't know about the other areas where they've been, just this one, but this one, they barely have anything to hunt, so they have to be able to fish. And you have these people who are truly, this is what they've done like their whole life, is been survivalists and studied this or lived this, and that they will go days without catching a fish, and they'll wake up and they're like, today's goal, I have to catch a fish. I haven't eaten anything except berries or, you know, I don't know, onion root or something. And they have to have, and they're so desperate. And some of them can't, because they've got to come up with their own, they're crafting their own fishing pole or their own net. And some of them can't catch anything. So you have that. And then the last thing I was going to bring up is, and now we're, because we are about, I think we're on day 60 of the season that I'm on. So they've been out in on their own, alone, for 60 days. And you're seeing the psychological toll.
Yep.
And yep. So the psychology that goes along with it, I think everybody except for maybe, it started with 10, we're down to 4 people. And I think maybe 4 of the 6 who have left, it was really for psychological reasons. They couldn't be alone anymore, and they needed to get back to their family. They just couldn't find the will to continue being out there by themselves. It really, really fascinating stuff. So,
have you seen, Chris, it sounds like you've seen actually a lot of these episodes. Have you ever seen any episodes where they take into account, like, needing to get batteries for their camera? I mean, there's some things that they have to, like,
this does not take place in Las Vegas with an Android, if that's what you're referring to.
What I'm getting at is, I mean, do they get batteries dropped off and they need to go pick them up, or is there some human contact at least?
No, there's none.
Drop off camera batteries.
I don't know how they do the cameras. I don't know how the cameras even work, if they require batteries, but there is no the only
they require batteries, Chris.
What's
yeah,
that?
That's right. They're using those batteryless cameras that exist.
So there's no camera crew?
Maybe you should have jumped in the Titanic story, Sean.
No. There's no camera crew.
They give you
wow
the cameras.
I don't mean to be skeptical. I just wonder if they ever see people. Because
I have
like
thought
that.
About that. I can't remember what the thought was. I was thinking about that a little bit last night.
Maybe they fly a drone in there and drop off stuff.
They have to have drones because of the other footage that they have. What happens is when you decide to what they call tap out, there is a phone and you call it and you just say, hey, I'm tapping out.
Yeah, so that's
and then I did notice on an episode, because you were required to always have this communications kit with you at all times, that if you don't have it and they see that you don't have it, they will come find you because that is their signal that you might be in danger. So there was a waiver. Yeah. There was a gal who blacked out, and they went and they found her. She didn't call in, but they went and
they will call it on people that are getting too dangerous.
Let's see here. So that before the Masters starts, that has consumed my entire week, and it will continue to do so probably this evening. Were you going to say something, Chris?
I feel bad for you, man, because of starting it with the last first. There's so many things that build up to like how they do the show now. Like there's some seasons where they do two people and say it's two brothers or a father and a son or two sisters or whatever. Hmm. And some of that stuff is wild to see the teamwork and like see how people take responsibility. And again, a lot of the psyche stuff, I mean, Sean, you'd love it just for that part of it. Mm-hmm. Like some of the parts where they do tap out and they call in with the GPS radio signal, when they come in, they're basically just like a shell of a human and just defeated and
right.
Super happy to see somebody. And it's wild to watch what can happen to people that are that dependent on how society works and what the role is in it, you know?
Another thing that I've been thinking about this week. This is really hard hitting stuff. But I heard this week, and I was like, I don't know if I like that. So they've been having the NFL owners meetings, and I guess one of the things that came out of this, Sean and Chris, is there was actual conversation about having an international division. So not just a team in London, but perhaps putting an entire division in Europe, where you would have like two teams in London, a team in Germany, maybe a team in Spain. I don't think I like that at all.
Well, the XFL just came out, so I don't know. I mean, where are they going to pull the talent? There's got to be a quality drop that's going to happen of what you watch. I don't like that. I don't like that, man.
I don't see how you would do that with the travel. I get it for like, because they have to, if you, I think this is right. Like if the New York Jets get, you know, the London game, don't they have a bye the next week or something like that? Don't they do something? Like, they're already making arrangements for them. I don't see how you could put an entire division in Europe with all of the travel.
I think they'd have to stay over there and play, you know, in that area to be realistic about it.
Yeah, I'm sure that they're not going to have one team play in L.A. one week and then Europe the next week and then Denver the following week.
I get the game now because they get some really great crowds here, and I did learn this. I didn't know this. In the soccer games, I know it's called football, but out there, but for us here, soccer games, they don't allow beer sales in the stadiums in Europe. However, the agreement with the NFL, so when they do like the London game, or the game in Germany, I think it was in Munich, they allow beer sales in the stadium, which is one of the reasons why it's become so popular. I think we lost Chris. Did you go to church?
I actually like this being just as background.
Oh, thanks. Well, then I see you can admire my work now.
I've got one more, and I'm inching closer to having a nice, hot, sweaty debate with Chris on something that I know is going to go very well. But the second thing that I heard this week, which is where we'll get to it with Chris, where I'm like, okay, maybe I see Chris's point. I did not like hearing this, but there is talk on the PGA Tour of allowing golf carts.
Really?
I did not like that.
I don't like that either.
That's part. No, I thought you were going with
baseball clock, man. I thought you were going.
No, with I said clock I, we've got baseball. One. We had one more, and then we would get to the hot, sweaty debate.
Oh, I was ready to go, man.
Yeah, I know.
Ready to fire.
Did you just put on boxing gloves?
I totally back no golf carts. Keep it standard.
That's like what that. I say.
And what's their purpose to speed up? What's their reasoning behind it?
It came about, I believe, as part of the baseball thing, with it speeding up play. Would that make it more exciting? And then this was surprising. It would actually allow Tiger Woods to stay around longer because you know he's got the leg issue, but I was totally against that idea. I mean, I get it for, you know, the fun, the match with, like, you know, Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady, and that makes for some good TV. I don't want to see that, you know, at the LA Open.
They have beer on the golf cart, so we're not talking, John Daly isn't playing.
Yeah, that's totally different.
Yeah. I'm not
okay. Good. All right, let's do it. I've been I've been seeing nothing but positive stuff regarding this, to the point they're calling baseball's pitch clock maybe the greatest change any sport has ever made.
Wow.
I'm not making that claim. I read it.
See, that to me, that sounds like a propaganda. It's like you're watching the news to me. I'm just like, that's bullshit.
I didn't read it on a Bud Light can.
Ugh.
This was a news outlet. Okay, Chris, I'm giving you the floor here as a true baseball fan, which I used to be, not to your level. I genuinely used to be a baseball fan. I fell out of love with baseball. This is your thing. Why are you anti-pitch clock?
Because you're taking a game that historically, fundamentally has been a game of chess, and you're turning it into checkers. I can't dumb it down any more than that, analytically. There's so many things that are lost with the counts going and the distractions of the clock and rushing the pitchers to pitch. You're going to see inflated earned run averages across the league. Guaranteed. I've already seen it, but I think you have a whole season to look at the numbers. Stolen bases is just going to be dumb. I wish Ricky Henderson was playing still. That would have been funny. But those numbers are going to be hyperinflated. And I've seen things where a strikeout has happened with two outs, runner on second and third, because he got in the box and called for a timeout with 8 seconds, and the umpire didn't acknowledge it, so he rung him up on a third strike. And that inning's over, runners on second and third are out. And for me watching that, I'm going, that's bullshit. I didn't like the guy that was in the batter's box, but it doesn't matter. Fundamentally, that's wrong to me because that takes away from what's going on in the game. Forcing the pitcher to throw a pitch if he's not comfortable with it, you know, that messes with the game substantially. I am completely against it. And again, like I said, it's a game of chess. There's a lot of things going on that aren't blatant, but they're happening during
Just a debate with you with that. Yes, it's going to be a change, but yes, obviously both sides of, you know, both teams need to go through it. So it's not like it's unfair to one side or the other. You know, I don't know how long there's been a shot clock in basketball, but there's a shot clock in basketball. And I can imagine that when they put that in, there were some fans that were, oh my gosh, that's going to screw up the game and you're going to be forcing guys to shoot. And it's just kind of part of the game now. I fully agree with you that it's going to be a hard thing to warm up to, and it's going to be a rough couple of seasons. But 5 years from now, it's going to be part of the game.
I
still have hope that it's not. There's no way that you're going to influence me that the game is better. The game is dumber. The game is dumber now for viewers to get involved and not be a big time sink of investment to see what's going on. I think they just dumbed it down and cut a bunch of it off is what they did to make it more appealing to all demographics, all audiences, all ages. That's the goal of it. So
I'm
still watching it. I just don't like it as much.
I'm gonna say this, and I'm gonna speak for Jason, who I know would have just jumped all over.
Oh gosh,
this topic. Yeah. He's gonna hear this and just be like, oh, of all the episodes I missed. No. So, Chris, hear me out here. As someone who used to watch baseball, I have found baseball to be extremely boring since analytics came into it.
Oh yeah,
the sport seemed to have become strikeouts don't matter, hit a home run. There's no singles, there's no doubles, there's no moving guys base to base. There's no stolen bases anymore. It's strikeout, home run, and do it in the baggiest pants possible.
No, and that's, see,
that's
I
what it looks like to me.
I saw it as even being those being relevant.
That seems dumb to me.
The game's still happening. Shifts, doubles, hitting according to where the field placement is, what pitch was coming, working with stuff like that. Great. The analytics that got me off was exit velocity. People are going off. Left is bad at 117 miles, and it's still one run. I don't care what somebody's roar is or slugging percentage. I don't care. RBIs, runners in scoring position, hitting with two outs. Coming into a game as a reliever with one out and runners on base, what's that statistic like? That's relevant to me. The ones that it's like fantasy stats if you're into fantasy, which is obviously I'm not, because what did I say when that first came out? Dumbest thing ever, but I stick to it. I'm not into fantasy. I'm into reality, right?
Oh, brother.
Yes.
I've heard you say that a million times.
That extra fluff that is just complete garbage to me, I don't care about it. I like the purity of the sport. Down to the point of, like, say, you're keeping score, which is something a lot of people do when they go to games. People do it at home. Parents do it when they go watch their kids play. You get a K for if you're pitching, you get a K rung up. If it's a swinging strike, you get a backwards K. If it's a strikeout looking, what about a strikeout with the freaking time violation? What the hell does that look like? I'm just going down to basic stuff. I've been invested in it my whole life. You know, I really enjoy the sport.
Well, I'm glad I brought it up.
You knew what you were doing.
I knew exactly what I was doing. Next week, we're going to talk about the genius of Mike Tomlin.
Oh, God.
I'm having fun with Chris.
Get political, too.
I'm having fun with Chris.
I can just clear the airwaves.
Okay, another thing that came up this week. I wanted you guys' take on this. Okay, so I'm at work, and I'm going to the bathroom. Shut up, Robin. A guy goes into the stall.
Were you wearing your shoes and nothing else?
Yes. That's the second part of this. No. Guy goes into a stall. So he's in the stall. He's not at the urinal. He's in the stall.
Got it.
He takes a phone call.
No.
So he's on the cell phone loudly. Talking.
Not an option. Not an option in my book, man. And that's frowned upon.
I'm standing there washing my hands, and I'm like, what is going on here, man? No. Yeah.
No, that's off limits.
Right?
It happens more often than you know.
No.
Yes, it does.
How about this? Use your phone. Don't take phone calls.
Yes.
Don't call people, right?
I'm into reality, not fantasy. Sean stayed quiet there. Sean, are you a
no,
talker?
I actually just it was probably less than a week ago that I experienced the exact same thing. I absolutely will not talk on the phone when I'm in the bathroom.
I wouldn't even do it at home.
I don't like the sound of the echo. I don't want someone to hear the door squeak. I don't want you to hear the water run. Like, where are you? The bathroom? Having said that, if someone else is and they're putting themselves through that and the other person on the other end of the line through that,
be really obnoxious.
No,
it doesn't bother me.
I think I'd get off the phone. I'd be like, okay, I don't need to hear you eat an apple during this call. And I said, you know what? Call me back. You're clearly a little busy right now. Call me back. And then we'll chat about the pitch clock.
I got one for you on this.
Okay.
Last month, I was in the woman's restroom here at the studio here at work. And there was a lady who's in the suite next to us who was in the big bathroom stall with the door shut. And she was on a phone call. And I'm like, I've only got a few minutes to pee in between shows. So I got to go. You know, I'm the 3-minute DJ. Let's get this done so I can get back on the air. And I'm in there and I'm like, I gotta go. So I'm peeing in the other stall. And she's pissed off at me, literally, for going to the bathroom in the stall next to her while she's having
that's
the...
That's hysterical.
No.
Nope. And
just keep flushing the toilet for no reason.
Yes.
And I went to flush the toilet, and I swear to God, she says, God, she goes, GD. She was swearing. She was mad. And she goes, I got to get the F out of this bathroom so I can finish this conversation with you, because she's pissing and flushing the toilet. I'm like, are you seriously telling this to the person on the phone and you're mad at me because we're in a bathroom stall doing our business? So yeah, it happens more often than you know.
She's
should have asked her if she could spare a square.
And, she's
well done.
I walked out and she was in the hallway on the phone, pacing back and forth, giving me the dirty look, and I'm just like, dude, this is a bathroom. What the hell do you expect me to do?
Yeah, loaded Robin, with class. You are not in the wrong there.
But I like
your side 100% there.
I should have kept flushing the toilet, like you said.
I heard something this week where my mind kind of blew. I never thought of it this food this way. Are tater tots a breakfast food?
No.
How do you eat your tater tots?
I don't really eat them much, but if I did, it would have been at a pub, like
well
pub
done,
grub.
Well done,
yes.
A little salt.
Oh, yeah.
I don't even want. Yes. I don't even need ketchup. Just like that, right?
Yeah.
Sean. And then I'll tell you what I heard.
Yeah, I would say no, but as I'm thinking about it, I mean, I think about, like, gosh, I was just listening to the radio on the way to work this morning. I think today is National Burrito Day.
Oh.
So they were talking about breakfast burritos and, like, you know, the way potatoes need to be made in order to put them into breakfast burritos and yada, yada, yada. And I can kind of see tater tots as falling into that breakfast burrito
That's
type of
kind
meal.
Of what I heard. Someone said... It was just a show. I'm just flipping channels. I heard this on a show, and they're like, no, tater tots are just like a hash brown. Well, so I consider them a breakfast food.
Well, look,
that blew
at,
my mind.
What do you – does McDonald's call those little
– That's essentially a giant flat tater tot.
Yeah, what is that? I mean
– They call it a hash brown.
Breakfast time.
I love them.
They're hash browns. Yeah.
But think of it, it's like a giant flattened tater tot. That's all it is.
So if you're doing tater tots in the morning and you have them with eggs and toast and bacon, do you need to smash them up so they're like hash browns, or can you just eat them like they come? I don't know.
Well, I'm already considering doing like these little fried chicken things for breakfast in our trip to Lake Tahoe, and I'm like, I think I'm going to do tater tots.
Do it,
let us know.
Let us know how it goes, how it's received, and that will be the answer.
Mother's going to be there. You realize that, right?
And we're going to do it at 9:30.
So will Jackie be okay with this?
Probably not.
All right. Well,
I love you, Mom, but all the more reason to do it. let's do it. Last thing I had as far as just stuff I thought about this is all about stuff I thought about this week. You guys scared of anything? Like dumb. Like I don't mean like
real stuff.
Yeah, like, you know, I'm scared of birds, or I'm scared of, you know, talking rabbits, or I don't know. You guys have a fear? Chris is going to say something like, the only thing I'm scared of is not being scared of anything.
No, I literally just going to say a hard no. Like,
a hard no.
Yeah, and it's not like some Bravo Macho thing. There's nothing that jumps out, or I don't have a phobia of things.
Sean?
I don't know. I'm sorry, man.
Sean, do you?
I'm with Chris. I'm sure that we can get into a pretty heavy conversation about, you know,
I thought you were going to say women,
shit, but nothing. not spiders, not snakes, not.
Okay. Wow.
Balloons or clowns.
I'm scared of. I'm always fascinated by ghosts, but they do that. That thought does scare me. Like that feeling of when, like, you're in a house. Maybe it's because I grew up. We'll get to this next week, maybe. I grew up in an actual haunted house. So I know that weird feeling of feeling something's there. That's a fear of mine. I thought about that.
I got to say, as far as some animals go, now, sometimes we picture ourselves being able to, like, oh, you know, I could take that out. There was one time, at a point in time, I saw a lion at, and this was, you know, behind a foot of glass. But I was just like, oh my gosh, if I was on the other side of this glass, I would be dead in about a half a second because that thing can just wipe me and I'd be done.
Yeah.
Same with like a bear, like we were talking about with Alone. I have thought about if I would hate to be in a boxing ring with an ostrich. I think that would be frightening. So that's about as close as I get to like a weird fear. Like
that's what I'm talking about. That would be weird. That's a weird fear.
Yeah, I don't think that I could take an ostrich.
I don't think you could.
What about heights, Brewer? That's on your list.
Yeah, right? That's
a normal one. A lot of people have that.
I have a fear of heights. I know we got to get out of here, and I've also very claustrophobic. Extremely claustrophobic. And ghosts. All right. We will definitely continue the pitch clock count next week. We're going to do all baseball next week and gain many listeners.
All right. So Jason and I will see you in two weeks.
All right, guys. Have a great Easter. Enjoy Masters Week. Love you guys. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Have a good one.
Thanks for listening to the Dad Podcast with Chris Brewer. Join us next time as we continue our conversations about everything dad, right here at StarWorldWideNetworks.com or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.